Somebody said something about taxes this morning. Oh, that's a five-letter word. That's okay. I was working on taxes this week, and some of you are working on your taxes. And I was wondering if you have help doing your taxes, if you just pick anybody out of the phone book and have them help you with your taxes, or do you want them to be skilled? How many just, show of hands, how many just go down the list of yellow pages or whatever and go, oh, they do taxes. They're the ones. How many of you just pick them by the... Nobody does that. You know, when someone does taxes and puts a name on it that catches your attention and you tend to have confidence in them because of what they're called. You know what I did? It's not just about taxes, but I went through the phone book a couple days ago and I made a copy of a column here that's talking about precise work, precision work. And when we have that kind of a name on a company, we think they are very good at that. We have a fellow up in Castle Mountain whose company is Precision Logging. And you think he's probably one of the best. That's precision. He's going to drop those trees between the houses and every... listen to some of these. There is Precision Accounting and Tax Service. Precision Auto Body. Precision Automotive. Precision Communications. Precision Countertops. Precision Craft Log and Timber. Precision Crankshaft. Precision Detail. Precision Flight Training. Well, you'd hope. Flight Training Incorporated. I don't know what they do with this. Precision Injection. I mean, is that medical or is that mechanical? I'm not real sure. Precision Instruments and so on. I just thought that cured my curiosity. There's a lot of things that are said to be precision. And did you know the Bible is that way too? And when we read in Colossians chapter 1 about Paul's prayer, there's a precise nature in his prayer. And we'll read it here in a second, verses 9 through 11. But I'd like for you to think of, like we prayed this morning, and when you take prayer requests home, we can pray precisely. The more we know, the more intelligent we can pray, more intelligently. And so we ask for prayer requests, and we ask how people are doing after we've prayed for them, and we want to know how we should carry on our prayers. But the Apostle Paul gives us some detail here about how he prayed, and it's to the point. When we pray, and we pray knowing what the requests are, what people need, and what their expectations, their hopes are, then we can pray and expect the answer. How many of you received an answer to prayer this week? How many of you did? Quite a few. And that's exciting. We're not talking to an idol, and we're not talking to an image, and we're not talking to a vague personality. We're talking to the God of heaven, the God who created, the God who is over everything, the God who is all powerful. Paul prayed. Let's read that. It's first Colossians. Colossians chapter 1 is what the pastor is trying to say. And Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. And this is what Paul wrote to the Colossians. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And we covered that last week. So we're going to go on to verse 10. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Lord, we come to Your Word. We know You are the ultimate author. The Holy Spirit guided the Apostle Paul to write these. As other men wrote other parts in the Bible, You superintended that. You inspired them, gave them the thoughts, the words, the very things that You would have communicated. You preserved it for us. So we're able to have the Bible in our hands, different translations for our benefits. We thank You, Lord, that we have it. And we can know Your will, we can know Your word. And please guide us as we seek to understand what You'd have for us today in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things we do when we pray is we're praying not in a shotgun style. When I was younger, we went to churches that prayed. And a lot of times they had midweek meetings, and the kids would be in one place, adults in another, different age groups and so on. And I can remember being in one church as a grade schooler. And we met in a room that had a map with all the missionaries that church supported on the map. And there were pins in the places where they served. And I can remember being how old was I there? I was up in Bellingham. I was in fifth grade. And I can remember in our session on Wednesday night, and we'd have our Bible study thing going on, and then we'd have a prayer time, and they had a blackboard, and would write prayer requests on the board, and I'd look at that map, and I'd see the missions. And you know, I felt very in tune with the missions, and I would pray, Lord, bless the missionaries. There's a shotgun approach, just bless them. However you choose to do it, I don't know anything about these people, but bless them. Have you ever prayed like that? Lord, just kind of a scatter. Paul's doing something very pointed. And instead of using a shotgun, you guys are okay with guns in this church? Instead of using a shotgun, you're using a .308 or a .30-06 or maybe even a .22, and you want to hit a definite point. And so you pray for a request definitely, because I want to have an impact and have God do something. If we pray for the missionaries, Lord, bless the missionaries, and was the prayer answered? I'm sure it was, because there's someone somewhere else that's praying very specifically. And God is going to use those missionaries wherever they are. But I would like for us to have in our mind the Apostle Paul is using something that's going to be very definite, that when it happens, he'll be able to say, thank you, God, for answering my prayer. Thank you that it was specific enough that I can see things happening. You know, when we pray for people and then you go and visit them, and like Phoebe said, now she's not taking the therapies, you visit with her and you think, how many years, a year and a half that we've been praying for Phoebe? And thank you, Phoebe, for being healthy. Is that what we say? No, thank you, God. You answered prayer. And look at what you've done. You know, you really shouldn't be thinking too hard about this before you prepare your message. But Paul prayed with a definite goal or an application in mind. And he prayed in verse 10 that you may walk worthy of the Lord. Walk worthy of the Lord. During our communion time, there's been something that's been running through my mind, and so I shared it then, and I'll share it again. There is a wrong thinking. Some of it is promoted by false teaching. Paul approached that in the book of Galatians when he said, "Are you so foolish as having begun in the Spirit, now you're going to fulfill and finish your salvation in the flesh? By your own effort, you're going to do that." That's not what Paul is approving of here when he says that you walk worthy of the Lord. It's not doing something in order to gain more of your salvation. To walk worthy of the Lord has to do, that word worthy, has to do with having the same weight. Now that takes a little bit of meditation and thought and prayer too, to understand that. A weight of responsibility, the weight of identity. And I think a key to understanding that is to go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. And I think we have it up on the screen. When he's talking about God working out our salvation, and he's, for those whom he did, I'm thinking ahead. Okay, Romans 8:29. Whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. God's goal for us is that we be conformed to the image of his Son. So when it says that you walk worthy, there's something that's going on, that we bear the weight that is equal to Christ. What is that? It's his image that the Holy Spirit is working out in us. So you're sitting here this morning in church, and you think, I'm doing what I probably should do on Sunday morning. I'm sitting in church. God has something else that he's dealing with you in this. And that is, I have you here because there's some nugget you're going to pick up that I'm going to continue to work on to conform you to the image of my Son. You'll be coming more and more like the Lord Jesus as your life goes on. We're not going to be complete in that until we're with the Lord. 1 John chapter 3. And it says, now are we the sons of God, we're the children of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he appears, we'll be like him. That'll be the end of it. We will be like him. But in the meantime, he's conforming us. So listen for the nugget. Listen for that. Because what God wants to see when he sees us, God wants to see his reproduction of himself in his people. He wants to see something of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he looks at you and me, he wants to see a reproduction of himself. He's working toward that in our lives. So Paul prays that our standing in Christ is reflected in our state in this world. I wanted to spend just a minute on that as I was preparing this message, that this is something that people, many of you know. But when we received the Lord Jesus Christ, we were placed in Christ, and this is called our standing. Our position is in Christ. There's no flaw in us in Christ. Everything has been forgiven. There's no fault. Our state is what is happening day by day, hour by hour, and sometimes Boy, I hate to use us, but sometimes Kathy and I have a little bit of a disagreement or something. You know, we're not like some of you perfect couples, but we have a little bit of a disagreement. And I can walk out into the garage to do something, and I'm thinking, and my thoughts aren't pure. I can just be unsettled, upset about something. And so I walk out into the garage, and this is my state. My standing in Christ hasn't changed, but my state has taken on a bit of sinful character. I'm acting unlike Christ. I'm upset at a person, the person that's nearest to me, that's dearest to me, and I'm upset. Christ never does that to us and say, you know what? If you don't straighten out your ways, I'm going to punt you. He never says anything like that. And so my state is something that fluctuates through the day, and there are times that it demands some confession. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us and cleanse us from that unrighteousness, all unrighteousness. And so in Paul is praying that you walk worthy of Christ. That you walk worthy of the Lord. Make your standing and your state more and more balanced and reasonable and true. Immaturity, and we all go through immaturity physically and spiritually also, that these are spread quite a ways apart. We have a long way to grow. But now that you've been saved for 5, 10, 15, 30, 50 years, that standing in that state needs to be more and more balanced, doesn't it? That our character, our everyday life, represents more our standing in Christ than what we were in the world. So the standing and state need to be balanced. So we pray that God, the Lord, sees in us what he is looking for, as Paul prayed for these people. But there is something that God looks for in every believer that are mentioned here. Two things. That you fully please him, being fruitful in every good work is the first thing, and increasing in the knowledge of God is the second thing. Being fruitful in every good work. And that is to be accomplishing God's purpose, because that is what we were saved for. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. We were saved that we would be fruitful in every good work. Ephesians 2:10 says, we were created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God before prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 17, after saying all scripture is inspired by God, he says, that will make a person thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so what God has prepared for us, even as the scripture says, that we were created in Christ to do good works, all this was God's plan even before we were saved. Even before you were a Christian, God had a plan for you to do good works. So life is laid out in God's mind, and we're not set adrift to just try and avoid disaster. The second thing, that was being fruitful in every good work. The second thing is that we grow and increase in the knowledge of God. And that is a lifelong pursuit. We get to know the Lord better through his word, peacefully. Aren't you glad that we do have times of peace. Have you read Psalm chapter 1 for a while recently? I think that is one of the Psalms that tends to make me think that we can grow when nothing is happening. God gives us seasons when there's not a lot of trouble. He gives us seasons when life is peaceful. I trust you have some of those. Psalm chapter 1 says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and is in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." The picture I get when I read that is a fireplace and a recliner, and you kick back and you read your Bible. Nothing's bothering you. It's peaceful. And that's a time to take advantage of the peace and grow. Dwell by the rivers of water. Soak it up. Do you have those times? I hope you don't waste those times. I can waste them. But to take advantage of peace. Whatever time of day it is, it might be early in the morning or it might be in the evening when things are quiet. Take advantage and grow in the peaceful times. We get to know the Lord better through His Word. But there's a second part. We get to know the Lord intimately through times of suffering and trials. Oh, yeah. I know what the Bible says because I've been studying in the peaceful time. But then the application of the Bible comes home when there's trouble. When, oh, yeah, does God love me? Well, I've been reading the Bible. I know God loves us. God loves me personally. But it's the trials, it's the suffering that brings about that intimate growth with the Lord. So I asked a question. Will Christians get to know the Lord better when the heat is turned up? Will we really? And this is where prayer comes in. Pray for ourselves and for others that troubles will cause them a step of faith. Pray for ourselves that when the troubles hit, that I will take a step that trusts the Lord more than I would if I hadn't run into that trouble. Pray for our friends when we hear, oh, this happened in their family. Breaks your heart. And pray for them that they will take a step of faith. They'll trust the Lord even through a dark time. And before the suffering comes, the question is, how will I endure suffering? It may be surgery. Some of you had questions before your surgeries, didn't you? How's this going to turn out? Is there going to be healing, or are they going to discover something that, you know what? This is trouble. How will I deal with that? Deal with sickness? Christians around the world, how will I endure suffering of persecution? And then something all of us will face. How will I endure through the end of life situations? What am I really made of? How will I do it? We have a promise. Philippians chapter 4, 19. What does it say? My God will do what? Will supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. My God will. You don't have to worry about how you will endure What is it? It's the step of faith. I will trust God that He will provide what I need when I need it. I can't anticipate a grace that I don't need. I can say, boy, I hope if things happen poorly for my personal situation, things go south, I hope God would give me grace. How will I do? God will give us what we need when we need it. My God will supply all your needs. When the hard times, when the heat has turned up, we get to know something more of God's resources for us. James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. We wouldn't get it unless God tests our faith. Romans chapter 5, verse 3. We also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So we have joy because of the strength God provides when we need it. Those words, patience and long-suffering, are defined as remaining under difficulties without succumbing to them. God protects us. He holds us up. Long-suffering is a long endurance that does not retaliate. So we can pray. We can pray very pointedly. And we can get the answers that God is seeking to give. He wants us to ask very specifically so that we can see His hand. We can see His actions. We can give praise for what He does very specifically. The Apostle Paul prayed, and I'd like to read that again. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy. He is working all things together for good, and bringing each of us safely to our eternal home. And that was the point of Paul's prayer for the saints at Colossae. That is the prayer concern that we can have for our Christian family as well. Let's pray for each other. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you that you're the one who provides the things that we need. Spiritually, and there's physical things, there's material things that come up as needs in homes and in the lives of each of us. We thank you that you are the one who is adequate, more than adequate, all sufficient. You are the great I am. You are to us what we need. And we pray that you would encourage us in our prayer life to look for the answers. See your hand at work in our life and in the lives of our families and in the lives of those around us. Thank you for being God, for being our God, for calling us your children. In Jesus' name.